Ottilia, an English-speaking anarchist radio show with international and local perspective. At Radio Blau, Leipzig.
Hello, hello, here we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Camila, and I'm happy to welcome you at the last in this crazy year edition of Bad News. And we are in the pre-lockdown mood, but as we are bad news, it's okay. And I hope you are healthy and doing well wherever you are.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is sadly, also in lockdown, repression goes on because the system relevant stuff has to go on, and
like a work of police, you mean?
yeah, really system relevant, and so sadly we have to talk today about the eviction of the last three houses in Dannenröder Forest, and also a lot of other stuff which is going on around the world, and we will take a lot of contributions from the bad news, angry voices from around the world, like oftentimes. And we are really glad that there are really, really good contributions this time again.
Yeah, and as we are in the pre-lockdown and all the pandemic around, we start with the update about the situation in Greek prisons during the COVID-19. And then there will be short cut of the radio show about the protests in Poland.
So, let's start it. The interview from Greece is from 1431 AM, by the way, which is a radio station in Thessaloniki.
Update about the situation at Greek prisons due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Within the framework of dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, the government targets those they throw in the rotten cage of the dystopian democracy violently and vindictively. There have been confirmed cases since the middle of summer without the government taking the proper precautions, leading to the dangerous situation that prevails in prisons from the start of the pandemic. From late November to early December, in Ward A and B, in the prison of Larissa, there have been a number of prisoners testing positive for COVID, while the only measure taken was the isolation of the prisoners in cells of 8 to 10 people. In protest to that, the prisoners denied going back to the cells, demanding they were all submitted to the COVID test. There have been 48 cases recorded, without the results of Ward C and D being published yet. One of the victims was the anarchist comrade Vangelis Sthathopoulos, who belongs in a high-risk group due to his loss of his kidney in an accident and his breathing problems. During all this, the government mocks the prisoners by sticking COVID prevention instructions to the door, suggests them not to huddle, and takes more quote-unquote protection measures like cancelling their leaves, their visits, their transports to hospitals for health issues, and the delivery of clothes, books, mails, etc. At the same time in Corfu prison, instead of taking health measures, the authorities locked the prisoners up for a week while they were waiting for the expected tests. In Revena prison, EODI performed in November 13th rapid tests to the guards and some chosen prisoners, revealing 5 cases, 1 guard, 4 prisoners. The cases are way more according to the prisoners. The inmates of the Avata prison in November 9th complained that the 10% of the prison were found positive after a test taken only by 150 inmates and guards. There have already been 2 COVID-19 related deaths, with more than 100 cases in an overcrowded prison. There are 10 prisoners in a room capable of holding 5, some of who are COVID positive, without the necessary cleaning and sterilizing products. From November the 19th, prisoners from Nigrita prison complain about the closing of Ward C1 because of the increasing COVID cases among the prison guards, leading to a lack of staff. In November 19th, in Kassandra Chalkidiki Farm prison, the prisoners stopped working. 5 cases of coronavirus were recorded in Kassandra Chalkidiki prisons. One was the prison's cook, 3 more prisoners, and an official from the secretariat. Prisoners stopped working from Sunday, the 15th of November, as a unique reaction to prison and the ministry doing nothing to protect the prisoners, as they see that the announcement of the General Secretariat of Anti-Criminal Politics, Sofia Nikolaou, were just empty promises. The prisoners in the text demand immediate prison decongestion. The release of prisoners with mild disciplinary offences and up to 6 months remaining. The under terms release of old and vulnerable prisoners with underlying diseases. The immediate release of prisoners waiting trial for minor offences. The transport of sick long-term COVIDs who cannot be released to the proper structures for the health protection. The 1 hour early arrival of the prison staff in order to be subjected to frequent rapid tests every shift. No remand to mild offenders and drug addicts. The provision of health products, sterilizers, masks, rubber gloves to all the prisoners. Thorough checks and quarantine measures for every non-avoidable remand. The thorough sterilization of all the things that enter the prison.
Elephant in the Room, an English radio show where we discuss things that people tend to ignore.
Elephant in the Room, a radio show by the Black Rose Radio Collective from Dresden.
Hate Mondays. Be organized. Stay cool.
Right now, you might heard a lot about Poland and the struggle going on there against new regulations against abortions. Abortion in Poland was legal during communism and became illegal, with a few exceptions, after the political shift of democracy. Since then, feminists have been active in resisting the abortion law, but with little success in gaining public support or influencing legislation. This changed in 2016, when hundreds of thousands of people across the country took to the streets in what became known as the Czerny Protest or Black Protest. They opposed a bill that would remove some of the exceptions and impose criminal sanctions on abortion. The scale of the protest meant that the proposal was stalled, even with a newly elected conservative populist government in power. It was a victory for the feminist movement and came as a surprise. Especially after a similar proposal in 2011 received almost no public attention and failed to mobilize even within the feminist movement. The last weeks we saw huge protests and 100,000 and more people on the streets, and not only in Warsaw. We have today some friends from Poland. Thanks for talking to us. Maybe you can introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hey. My name is Sara, and I am a member of anti-repression collective structures right now in Poland, supporting the recent protests.
And my name is Damian, and I'm part of the I'm part of the ABC, and I'm also the part of the anti-rape structures that are created right, that has been created right now.
Yeah, actually, like everybody heard right now in the news that actually since kind of 2 weeks, since the 23rd of October, when the court ruled about the question of abortion, that, lots of protests are going on. And maybe you can give us a short idea. How is the situation right now? Is this protest still going on? And maybe you can give us an overview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So everything started on actually 22nd of October, when the Constitutional Tribune decided that abortion is not legal anymore. And then the very spontaneous demonstration had place in front of the building on the Constitutional Tribune. And after, everybody went to in front of the office of the ruler party. Then also police appeared, and people spontaneously continue walking through the whole Warsaw to visit the leader of the party in front of his house. And actually, it was kind of amazing, like how many people went out on the streets in a very spontaneous protest. And just in front of this house of the political leader, also like police blocked the road. And we can say that then people got really angry because they just wanted to pass and they were super motivated. But then police started to use their power, and they used pepper gas, and they used like they violently stopped several people. So people started to throw stones in the police directions, and we had a kind of fight on the street. And that night, police stopped 15 people, and we, as an anti-repression group, like that time the anti-repression group was kind of small, but we organized ourselves very spontaneously, cooperating with several lawyers. So all night we were just taking care of arrested people. So people got really angry after that night because many people really didn't expect that police actually can beat them and can use the pepper gas. It's like for many people in Poland, it's not really popular. So the next day there was a huge spontaneous demonstration again. And as we counted, it could be even 100,000 people on the street with no proper coordination. Like nobody really knew where we are going. Like people were just walking on the streets and took control over half of the Warsaw. And that was actually pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think it's worth to mention that we don't remember any kind of demonstration that was taking place in Poland from the so-called our side, like from the leftist side that can gather so many people. Yeah, like here in Poland, there are the demonstrations of the Nazis or the nationalists who are gathering in November, the like 150,000 people or something, but like never there was a situation like this that you have like 150,000 people marching in defense of abortion. Yeah, and they are like chanting slogan "fuck the cops" and they are shouting some leftist slogans also. Yeah, so it was kind of breaking point, I think.
Since that day, for the first week, I think almost every day there were some spontaneous demonstrations, pickets, actions. On Sunday, people started to go to the churches because church has still very strong position in Poland, and it has a big influence on the political situation as well. So people in whole Poland actually started to go there with some posters, with some, you know, slogans like, we will pray for proper abortion law and liberalization of abortion. Also, that was the first moment when nationalists appeared on the streets because they wanted to defend churches.
So, yeah, so this was how Sunday looked like. That there were small demonstrations, there were small protests in front of many, many, many churches. And the situation looked like this, that the nationalists and Nazis, they were kind of blocking the churches, and people were standing in front and, you know, some and shouting on them and throwing stones. Yeah, and between the people, there were the cops standing. Relatively, it was very calm, like in some point, still. There were some people arrested, but for a really short time. It was a Sunday, so it was like a kind of third day. it's worth to mention that right now we are talking mostly about the Warsaw or mostly about the one city, but we have to mention that all these protests are taking place in all the country, in every city, big or small city. So it's kind of interesting what's happening. Next week, there were like the blockades of the city started also. Like, for example, on Monday, we had a situation that in the city, there were like 20 blockades. Like people were blocking all the main streets, all the main roundabouts, bridges. Yeah, like three bridges were totally paralyzed. Like they were totally stopped by the people. And since this time, like every day, there were still some demonstrations and actions.
So now we are talking about what happened like week after the beginning of protests. So as you can see, like, all the week, almost every day, people went out on the street. The crucial point was this Friday. We had like a big, big group of the people on the street, like this 100,000 people. But also that was the moment when 2 days before, Jarosław Kaczyński, who is a leader of the political party, Law and Justice Party, he made a kind of statement and he recorded that. And actually he openly called for attack on demonstrators, the people who are demonstrating. Like he said, like, we as a nationalist, we as a patriots, we need to defend, or you as a patriots, you need to defend the Polish tradition and the Polish religion, because now we are on kind of war. The result of his speech was that the fascists started to organize themselves. They were preparing attacks on the Friday demos. Also, what is important to mention that the speech of Jarosław Kaczyński is one part, but 2 days later, we got access to documents from prosecutor office. It was a leak. And in these documents, we read that the general prosecutor, who is the same person as Minister of Justice in Poland, wrote a special letter to all prosecutors and tell them what kind of legal paragraphs should be given to the organizers of the protest. So it was like a list of accusations they can use. And it was a call to stop as many of organizers as possible. So it was kind of a small panic in whole Poland because, in Warsaw, any of the organizers had been stopped. But in smaller cities, police really went to some organizers and told them that, okay, if you are still going to organize this spontaneous demo, be ready that you will be accused of putting in danger life of many people. And this is kind of serious accusations in Poland. It's like 8 years imprisonment. So we knew that they also tried to use this legal ways to stop protests.
And there was also a case which got quite public about non-binary activist Margot. And Chris, Poland is quite a homophobic country. I was wondering which role are playing actually queer and LGBTIQA activists or movement in this whole protest? Are they present? Would you say that actually the protests are so big right now, queer people are actually not really welcomed at the protest right now? How would you say that?
I wouldn't say they are not welcome. Like a week ago, there was one demonstration organized like by LGBT community, and it was with the slogan like LGBT and women rights, like we are fighting for the same rights. So they are present. For me personally, they are a really important part. I would love to see more postulates about the LGBT community in this protest. But also what it's actually important to mention that a week ago, this women's strike organization proposed something like the council of the protest to figure out what we actually want. They proposed several topics with postulates, and there are topics not only, like there is abortion, of course, as one of the main topics, but also there is a special postulates about LGBT community, about the education, about the healthcare. So even inside this council of the protest, of the strike, there is a place for LGBT community as well.
How can people actually follow up the information on the protests going on right now?
There are Facebook and Twitter accounts of Women's Strike. In Polish is Strajk Kobiet. about the repression, like Anarchist Black Cross is trying to publish like every single repression we face and updates about the repression situation. So also Anarchist Black Cross is Twitter and on Facebook.
Yeah, I think on the Anarchist Black Cross website, you can find the general information about the repressions from all of the Poland.
Right now, we got information that the mobilization for all the protests is in around 500 cities in whole Poland, and 90% of them, there are cities with the population lower than 50,000 citizens. So you can see that it spread so much, and even the smallest cities are protesting, so it's hard to get information from all of them, but we try to keep trying to be updated.
Is there anything people can do to support the protest right now?
I think there are many ways. Like we can also send you the links to all collectives who support legal and safe abortion in Poland. So every support for these collectives are super important. Also sharing the information about the protest is super important, and organizing any kind of solidarity action. I'm pretty sure, especially for these collectives who provide support for the women who need abortion, they need just financial support as well. So this is important. And you can come to Poland.
Thanks a lot for all the information and this interview today. Take care and good luck with the struggle.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
This was a short cut of 1 hour radio show, Elephant in the Room. You can find the full version at and.notraces.net. I repeat, and.notraces.net in the tab Radio, Elephant in the Room. Enjoy!
So this is Maskotki. If you like the music, it's an beginning of 2000s electropunk from Poland. And enjoy them. I really love them. And my tip. And about the Poland situation, the interview was done at 9th of November. So we looked through, checked it up, what's going on. And it's still actual. Protests are going on. Tomorrow at 12, there will be demonstrations again. And not Poland, but from Argentina, there are good news that the abortion is legalized. And yeah, we can celebrate it. So it's they show it's possible. People just need to fight for it. Yeah.
Yeah, good. So this really nice interview and really important content will be followed by an interview from comrades from the Final Straw Radio from North Carolina. Their contribution to this month's bad news. Yes, it will be about the right-wing uprisings there in the US and enjoy, or I mean, I don't know if it's really enjoyable, but
It's important to finally, like, after looking through all these pictures of the crazy demonstrations, pro-Trump demonstrations, to get some view of from the anarchist and anti-fascist side of what is going on.
That's it.
Final Straw Radio from Southern Appalachia in so-called USA, Turtle Island, is sharing a part of a chat with Daryl Lamont Jenkins, an anarchist and anti-fascist of the One People's Project in Idavox, who will be talking about the recent Stop the Steal protests that took place in U.S. state capitals concerning the conspiracy theory that the Democrat Party was trying to steal the U.S. federal and state elections. And these protests threatened mass violence these last few months. The Stop the Steal protests culminated on November 14th with the Million MAGA March in Washington, D.C., which saw thousands of Trump supporters and far-right hooligans from the Proud Boys and other groups rampage and destroy memorials to black and brown youth killed by police in Black Lives Matter Plaza. Black Lives Matter Plaza is a square renamed during this summer's uprising that sits in view of the White House. During this night, three Black Lives Matter and anti-racist protesters were stabbed and hospitalized in attacks by the far-right, and the police have done nothing. On December 12th, there has been a call for a second Million MAGA march by the Proud Boys, a group defining itself as Western chauvinist, a misogynist organization containing many white supremacists, transphobes, Islamophobes, and anti-Semites and homophobes. Daryl talks about the call to show force in counter to the Proud Boys on December 12th and the coalition that is calling for opposition and anti-racist defense of Black Lives Matter Plaza. You can hear the rest of our interview at our website, thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, by finding our December 6th episode.
My name is Daryl Lamont Jenkins. I'm the founder and executive director of One People's Project based in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our mission in life is to expose right-wing groups and individuals to the light, so we can turn their lives out. And currently we're working with a larger coalition that I and others have founded called the Anti-Fascist Unity Coalition, the AUC, that started last year. And it's basically an effort to try to do above ground things as anti-fascists. On January 2nd, we're trying to push for a national food drive to help out all those food banks, the pantries, the mutual aid organizations that have been trying to feed communities across the country. If you want to know more about that, more information will be on daysofunity.org.
Following this latest election, Trump and his cronies were calling for the amassing of popular dissent, you know, to stop the steal throughout state capitals around the country. How do you assess that display of power?
We're kind of used to it by now. What's funny to me is that we were inundated on Twitter and on Facebook by a bunch of chuckleheads who were swinging their guns around and talking about how Antifa is out there. It's going to really get it come November. We got something planned for you. All these videos are talking about you're not going to know what hit us. Here it is, December 1st, and we still don't know what's hitting us because nothing's hitting us. Only thing that we've seen was a bunch of LARPers running around with guns they'll never shoot and basically trying to scare people into thinking we're saying that they're a show of force.
So you mentioned November 14th and the march at the National Capitol, the Million Maggot March. It kind of appeared that the turnout was relatively low, although it was like double the number of people that were in Charlottesville from the far right, at least. And you mentioned the violence around Black Lives Matter Plaza, and a few people ended up getting stabbed out of it, right?
Right. Three people were stabbed, presumably by someone within the Proud Boys crowd. They were never caught. They haven't been caught. curious how one of the biggest complaints that people were putting out there was the police didn't do anything. Also, after the if they were doing anything, it was to the benefit of the problem, as far as folks were concerned. Something has to be said about the fact that Brian James considered it one of the greatest days of his life. And when you hear a former Klansman who has founded several hate groups in the past and is now working with the Proud Boys saying that, that's telling everybody that we didn't step up when we should have. A lot of people got hurt. A lot of people got arrested. Like I said, Black Lives Matter plaza has been vandalized. It was tearing down the pictures of murdered children and murdered Black children. And it definitely resonated, so much so that people are insisting that we come out to D.C. on December 12th. And people are going to answer that call this time, because the last time, on November 14th, folks were basically being told, they heard that the Million Maggot March was going to take place, and folks were doing something that I was afraid they were going to do. They were telling their circles that Trump lost, we won, we can move on, we can ignore them. And that was a biggest mistake that you could have made that day, for that day. Because now what we hear are Black people that were upset that the white allies that were supposed to be there, that were out there celebrating when Trump lost just a week before, were not there to protect Black Lives Matter Plaza, were not there to put up the fight that we had been putting up for the past 4 years, let alone the past 4 or 5 months. It was as if white allies got what they wanted, and now we don't matter anymore. So it really is Black people in D.C. saying, come on out. Come out now. You guys believe in this fight. You guys say you believe in this fight. This fight isn't over just because they counted the ballots the right way. You know, this fight is over when they're gone. And the only way they're going to be gone is if we show that we want them gone. And that's going to happen on December 12th. Most importantly, December 12th, everybody is looking at protecting Black Lives Matter Plaza. They are not doing that again.
Can you talk about who is calling for the counter demonstration on the 12th?
There are several groups that are trying to put this together, trying to organize. The main group is Defend DC. And you can go to their website at defenddc.org. Stop Racism DC is also involved. But definitely just go to defenddc.org. I will say that One People's Project is endorsing the event. So we will definitely be on board. As if anybody has any questions, feel free to talk to us. We're there to cover it, but we're there to support. But other groups that have endorsed it are Black Lives Matter DC, All Out DC, the Autonomous Liberation Collective, NYC. And that's important because they really want to get people who are not from the area to come into D.C. I mean, the Proud Boys are bringing people from all over the country. Why not?
What are we expecting from the Chuds? Like, what sort of terminology are they using for this?
I think it's going to be an all-day affair. While they're there, we're going to be there. You know, all day, all night. Because all the fun and excitement from November 14th happened at night. There was some history. There were some things going on during the day, but it was at night when we had the biggest problems. So we're just going to be prepared to just make sure that there are people present to make sure that they don't cause too much of the kind of drama that they caused last time.
Do you think that a new administration will counter the growing levels of white supremacist violence in the streets?
Biden did say that he was putting together a task force to address just that. I don't think he's put all his cards on the table just yet. But as I said before, if he's talking about the Proud Boys in an adverse way, he's going to do something about at least the Proud Boys. Can we trust him to do all the things that need to be done to fight domestic terrorism, for the lack of a better term? No, we can't. And not just necessarily because he's Joe Biden or anything like that. It's just that we have been down this road before. We expected them to do something about that particular element, and then they don't, and something bad happens. I mean, I think one of the worst examples of that is how they allowed the right to punk them out in 2009 when the Department of Homeland Security called out white wing extremism. Not only after Fox News and all of that, punk them out and cause them to walk back that language, they shut down the domestic terrorism office
that was supposed to be investigating all of this stuff. And what did we get out of it? 7 deaths in 2 months out of 4 or 5 incidents, courtesy of those domestic terrorists. We had a knucklehead that killed a couple of cops in Pittsburgh. We had the shooting of an abortion doctor that Fox News used to go after time and time again. We had a home invasion of people who were in the Anti-Immigration Minutemen Project, where they killed a 9-year-old girl and her father. Ultimately, we defend ourselves. Ultimately, we support ourselves. Ultimately, we build the institutions that will take us forward. I will tell you, even despite what I had just said, I mean, I'm hoping that we can put our finger on that scale, so to speak. I have to hope that, because, like I said, we can't keep doing what we've been doing over the past 4 years, not even the past 20 years. But I will tell you this. The other thing about that is, no matter what it is they do, no matter what it is they do over the next 4 years, we still got to continue to defend, support, and build those institutions. And I will remind people that Black Lives Matter started under Obama. I will also remind people that Occupy also started under Obama, which meant that we already have a bit of a distrust in what our governments are going to do. We're going to make sure that we are building the things, the, more or less the safety net, so that when people who had been, who thought that they could rely on government, realize that they can't, they still have something to rely on. In the end, that's how things work. We keep talking about they're going to put Biden's feet to the fire. Well, we're the ones who set that fire, all right? So either his feet is going to be in the fire, or we're just going to make the fire larger.
Mais aujourd'hui, dans ta soupe est populaire, elle ne parle plus aux pauvres. Pire, l'album, le prochain, tu sais, celui que personne n'attend et qui sûrement ne plaira même plus aux autres. Je suis pas l'ami de tout le monde, un peu vagabond. Une bouteille à la main, tu sais, celui qui marche à l'ombre. En retrait pour prendre du recul sur ceux qui sucent tous ces consensus et sont passés pour victimes de la censure, complices du pouvoir. Quand tu leur donnes tout ce qu'ils pourraient croire, j'élargis leur vision étroite. Tout ce qu'on croit possible pour nous n'est pas à droite. C'est ça l'ami de tout le monde, car pas de pote dans ton hip hop, pas de place dans ton rap. La capine, la capine, qu'est-ce que je suis, c'est Iwan, des qu'ici, des le sais. C'est ça l'ami de tout le monde, car pas de pote dans ton hip hop, pas de place dans ton rap. La capine, la capine, qu'est-ce que je suis, c'est Iwan, des qu'ici, des le sais. J'exècre le milieu hip hop. Franchouille parisien, style syntrope, élitiste chouette avec de larges frocs. Bolos qui tripent sur le malheur des autres, un télo, blanc, gay ou hétéro, salaud, dégage, espèce de blaireau. Casse-toi, pas l'envie, le besoin d'être ton pote, de crier, de cramer, de briller sous les spots. Pas l'envie, non, de faire le fanfaron pour la télé poubelle. Révolutionnaire avec les euros de pureté, ça va pas. Quoi, avant tu pars, moi, dégage et t'es. Toi, en temps de crise, camarade, je sais que c'est chaud. Si t'es en chien, braque le portefeuille à Manu Chao. Antifa, anti-con, anti-apo, anti-sauce d'aime, donc anti-bobo.
C'est ça l'ami de tout le monde, car pas de pote dans ton hip-hop. Pas de place dans ton rap, yeah, rap, la capine, la capine.
C'est dit, c'est clair, paie-moi une trace des bières, un flacon d'éther, frère, ça changera pas les faits. En effet, t'es qu'un vendu de plus qui suce la moitié du rap français. Donc d'entrée, j'ai pas envie de te connaître, et ton son c'est de la merde. Un moment faut être honnête, moi apparemment, ça me plaît de pas être fréquentable, dérangé mental, je mets en danger le peu rentable. Résultat, on est pestiféré, mais nous on kiffe ça, même si succès nous capte en différé. Feuille, stylo, stick, binous, une instru qu'un riz, et on donne des news de Seine-Saint-Denis. Tous ces décors gris qui nous ont vu grandir, la tristesse de sentir qu'il y a nulle part où s'enfuir. Trace ma route, et avance en cercle restreint, j'affronte mes doutes, et pour le reste laisse faire le destin.
Voilà, tout le monde, car pas de pote dans ton hip-hop, pas de place dans ton rap, yeah, rap, la capi, la capi, yeah.
And if you didn't hear that that the hashtag Proud Boys was taking over, the Proud Boys, then right-wing ones, are furious that the gay men have taken over this hashtag on Twitter. So if you have some queer, LGBT, gay, whatever content, and you have Twitter, when you post it, don't forget Proud Boys. Let's make the Proud Boys furious. And yeah, Milan, you had you were reading through what's going on with the case, which is nearly 1 year old, on Kornewitzer Kreuz, because it's like, I think it's a very important case for Leipzig, but it's not so public, or I don't hear so much.
Yeah, that's right. We reported about it in our show before, but yeah, now at the moment there's the fourth trial going on, or against the fourth accused person. And as you may remind, all started, as Camilla said, with the riots there at the crossroad, a central place in the neighborhood called Kornewitz here in Leipzig.
Yeah, at the New Year, celebration day time.
Yeah, so, and there were people for quite long or several months in prison for it. And now, as I said, there's the trial against the fourth person, and the third day at court is over. And basically we can say about it that like always, cops are prepared, what's officially not allowed in German law, that they read what they wrote down, and that they like talk to each other about the case, but it's kind of obviously that they did again. And so the lawyers, like the game everybody might know already, is try to blame that, but as in the majority of the cases, the judge don't care about that. And yeah, so there's not too much to say about it, apart that the accusation, it's kind of like, really, there's some really crazy stuff, contradictory stuff inside, which normally, from my point of view, might be really hard to accuse somebody with this evidence, but yeah.
Sadly, make impossible possible, you know, the motto of every police in every state.
Yeah, and as what also something you might not wonder about is that the accused person was like really seriously wounded and beaten unconscious during his arrest, and yeah, as you might imagine, also that doesn't play any role during this trial so far.
And how injured was the policeman?
The policeman, I think he had no injuries or maybe a scratch or something. The accusation is that the person should have teared down his helmet and punched him in the face several times or two times. And between tearing down the helmet and punching, the person should have said something like, I don't know, now you will... next moment you will receive some punches or something like Bud Spencer or something is said like in a report, which is like hard to imagine. But yeah, that's what the cops tell at court. But I mean, the really, really hard stuff we have to tell is that like in other cases, like the case of Hildegardstrasse, maybe you will remember the deportation, the
protest against deportation.
Yeah, in the east of Leipzig, there the cops which are involved or testifying, or also the cop which is the cop which should have beaten or whatever, are like really right-wing officers and have provable connections to neo-Nazis and fight sport connections with the neo-Nazis. And that obviously doesn't play any role in the case as well. So
they didn't learn to protect themselves very well in their boxing clubs, huh? Seems like.
I don't know, but it's crazy that like a bunch of people which are like which were there together at the and during this police action and stick together now are testifying at court like against their enemy and yeah, so I think it's really important to follow what's happening there and also make it more known publicly how the right wing police here in Saxony and in Leipzig are acting and lying and stuff and trying to fight their political enemy and using their power they have from this state, from this district to do that. And so if you want to inform yourself about the case, which next day at trial will be at the 15th of December, you can find infos and more details also about other cases linked to the riots at the last New Year's Eve at dvomkreuztogether.noblogs.org. Sadly, it's not in German available.
Not in English available. It's in German.
Ah, it's in German. You're right. But we will try to do an interview with the support crew in future, so stay tuned. And if we do so, and it's not in English, we will try to translate it.
Yeah, and anyway, I think it's very important to go to the trials, and it will be the last day of the trial, as I understand, or not?
I think the supposed last day in a trial, but we have to mention that it's might be quite hard to go there or to enter the court because of corona measures. So maybe you contact, if you are planning to do so, you contact the support crew beforehand to know about the what's the definite number of people which might be allowed at court, because last time it was already full when I arrived.
Yeah, you just need to check maybe the court websites, because the rules probably now renewed from the past. Yeah. Okay. What's next?
Yeah, next will be a short like roundup about the protests and the evictions at Dannenröder Forst in the district called Hessen. But first we're gonna listen to some music that you can relax a little bit
between after the bad all news this, and bad news.
Yeah, after this hard stuff content. And stay tuned.
fırtınalar sarsıyor göğü. Kara bulutlar körreder gözleri. Ölüm ve acı beklese de bizleri, onları yemek için yürümeliyiz ve en değerli varlığımız özgürlük. Cesaret ve inançla savunmalıyız. Haydi barikata, haydi barikata. Ekmek, adalet ve özgürlük için. Haydi barikata, haydi barikata. Ekmek, adalet.
Hello! At this point we want to do a short roundup about the struggle for the forest, Dannenröder Forst, in the province called Hessen, Germany. The wood was occupied more than 1 year ago and folks lived there together in so-called barrios. They built barracks, three houses, barricades, three pots and a lot of other things. Many of the activists who lived there emphasized that an important part of the struggle was the way how they lived together and organized themselves in a non-hierarchical way. Other remarkable things are the high number of participating women, so that there was at least a gender balance, what sadly in other struggles oftentimes is not the case. That the majority of the movement is quite young. The high level of dedication a lot of the activists showed through their fight. The good relationship with a lot of the locals, who partly had initiatives against the highway since a lot of years. But what is it about? It is the attempt to avoid 18 kilometers clearance of an old intact wood in order to build a new highway, which was planned 20 years ago. And obviously, a lot of the activists see their struggle connected to their engagement in order to stop climate change. Who is participating? A lot of young activists which were or are organized in Fridays for Future. So-called post-autonomous, who share anti-authoritarian and or anarchist values. Several leftist initiatives and NGOs connected to the environmental topic. Some days ago, after a period of 2 months, continuous confrontation with the police forces, the last three houses were evicted. During the evictions, various persons were seriously injured due to police actions. So, the last tree on the planned highway is fallen, but nothing's over yet. There's still the street to build, like activists from Dani emphasized while their press conference at the 9th of December. So, if you want to inform yourselves about it or join the resistance, you can check waldstattasphalt.blackblocks.org. There's also a lot of stuff in English available. Yeah, and we have to add at this place that there have been also a lot of solidarity actions, I forgot to mention during the short roundup, which took place all over Germany and also Europe. For example, there have been several blockades of highways, which is a quite effective action, and as you can imagine, caused a real shitstorm in the mainstream media. And sadly, also, repression is not over yet. So there are still comrades in prison. And for example, tomorrow in Frankfurt, there will be a concentration in front of the walls to support them. Yes.
And we planned also to add in this show, but we have not enough time, the interview with an activist from Belarus, which was done by Radio Berlin. And you can find it on their website, which was, do you remind me how? Can you remind
me? Yeah, the website page is aradio-berlin.org, and you can find it there on among the recent audios. Another thing we shortly have to add to the infos about Belarus is that the borders of Belarus will be closed at the 21st of December, with very little exceptions. And they say it's about corona, but at the same time, there are no restrictions or any corona measures at all.
Yeah, let's call it so-called mustache curtain, which is not allowing people to go out from Belarus right now. And we want to make then some short announcements and promote thousands of rallies going on tomorrow in Leipzig. So tomorrow there are many possibilities to join the protests because it's 13-12 2020. Everybody wanted to do a demonstration, and the first one is a queer feminist demonstration against patriarchal and sexual violence. It's at 3 at the corner of Eisenbahnstraße and Elisabethstraße, and it's connected to the raping on the street of one woman at the 3rd of December. And one is everybody. That's why it's important to show our support.
Yeah, the second one is exposing right-wing actors in the police and intelligence services and judiciary. Concentration against rechte AkteurInnen in Polizei, Geheimdiensten und Justiz, like the German translation. And it will take place also tomorrow between 5:30 and 8 and at Karl-Liebknecht-Straße and corner Hardenbergstraße.
It's somehow announced like actions, so probably it will be several different demos or actions going on. And also in Konnewitz at 6, there will be the autonomous neighborhood rally. It was announced as the demo, but now it's just an an action without moving around. And it's called All Together Against Fascism, Fight the Fascist in the Uniform. So it's kind of connected topics, and you can decide how much and in what part of the city you can and want participate, if you want.
Yeah, there's missing to add one more time that you can contact us at bn-tilia@riseup.net, bn-tilia@riseup.net. If you have any critic or like announcement, or you want to contact us, don't hesitate to contact us at our email.
And we hear us at the 9th of January 2021 at 5 p.m. as usual. Take care and have a nice celebration days at lockdown.
And don't forget to organize.
And wear a mask.